Now, could we turn in Matthew's Gospel to chapter 5, and we'll be taking our text in verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, and continuing our series through the Beatitudes, through these short statements of blessing at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we come now to verse 7. We could read from the beginning of the chapter, just to set the words in context. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And especially these last words, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you a merciful person? Maybe some of the children aren't even sure what that means, to be merciful. It means to be kind, to be compassionate, to be loving. But to be all these things to a person who doesn't deserve it. It's very easy to be kind and loving to people who are kind and loving back to us. But this is to be kind and loving to people who do not deserve it and who have no reason to expect from you any kindness and love and compassion. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now we've been saying as we work through these short statements, the Beatitudes, that here we have the true Christian identified, the Christian who is set apart from the people of this world, the Christian who is the truly blessed person. And he is blessed because, in this section, he is merciful. That is the quality that sets him apart from this world. The true Christian is a merciful person, and that makes him different. That makes him blessed in the midst of a world which is not merciful. So here then we have the true Christian identified. Here is his lifestyle. The true Christian is a merciful person, kind and compassionate and loving to people who don't deserve that care. The true Christian is merciful. And for a few moments this morning, we're going to think on that theme and see what the Lord is teaching us about the Christian life from these words. Now, we've been emphasising in our series the logical connection between each of these Beatitudes, that one leads naturally on to another. First of all, we were talking about the inward sense of lack that the Christian has. He is poor in spirit. He mourns. Then we were talking about the outward expression of that he is meek. Then we had the sense of his desire. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Christian has his inward sense of lack. This is what he desires. Now, in verse 7, we come to see the Christian seeking to put this righteousness into practice. So we're going from that sense of lack now to the sense of trying to put into practice what the Christian knows he needs. And here is one crucial, practical identifier of the Christian man or woman. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But firstly, let's come to see the world is not merciful. The world is not merciful. The world doesn't have this characteristic. The Christian is set apart, is different, because he can be identified as merciful. The world does not admire mercy. It may claim to, it may pretend to, but the world thinks that ultimately your focus should be on yourself. And isn't that our society? It's all about trying to advance yourself. trying to get on in life, trying to promote yourself, trying to make yourself more rich, more successful, more happy, trying to pursue your own goals rather than looking to the good of others. Our society is a self-centered society, not a merciful society. And when you see works of mercy being done, when you see kindness at work, when you see charitable endeavour being engaged in, so often it's the people of God who are at the heart of it. So often it's Christians who are at the forefront, putting their faith into practice, leading the way in showing mercy and showing compassion to those who are in need. I'm not saying the people of this world do not do any charity work. I'm not saying the people of this world don't care about others. Rather, what I'm saying is that there is a crucial distinction here. The people of this world will engage in some charity works. It's something partial. It's something limited. But the Christian cares fully. The Christian is merciful. And we see it especially in the kind of charity work that the world engages in. The world will care for your body. The world will set up food banks. The world will contribute to disaster relief. But speak about missionary work. Speak about the preaching of the gospel. Speak about the advancing of the kingdom of God. And the world does not want to know. What's more essential, the preservation of the body or the preservation of the undying soul? Of course, charity work is important in the sense of providing for the body. If people are not filled, if people are not sheltered, if people are not safe, then they cannot hear and they cannot respond to the gospel message. But it is vital that we give the priority to what we truly need. And the true crying need of our world is for the gospel. And sadly, the world is not merciful to give that gospel message. And the tragedy is that we see multitudes today living and dying without ever hearing the truth of Christ the Saviour and of a free salvation available through him. And for the most part, our world says, that is fine, that is okay. Our world is not merciful to those who are dying in their sins. The Christian is different. The Christian cares. And a true Christian is marked out by this, that they are merciful. They do care about other people. They do long to see sinners saved. They do seek to serve the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. Christian people have mercy. The world doesn't admire it. The world doesn't respect it. The world doesn't see it as important. The world doesn't even like mercy. Doesn't like the thought of mercy. You know, if you listen to the way that debates are had now about things like benefits and about the way that our society is run, you'll see that the world is very comfortable talking in terms of rights and entitlements. You're even starting to hear it in terms of development work in places like Africa. The right to water, the right to food, the right to education. I've even heard people talking about the right to internet, as though that were some kind of basic human right. The world is comfortable talking about rights. The world is not comfortable talking about mercy. You see, the world doesn't like the thought that we need mercy, that we aren't actually deserving, that we aren't actually entitled to things. The world doesn't like the thought that when we come before the throne of God, we don't have a right to a way into heaven. We don't have a right to salvation, that we come as needy sinners who need mercy. The world hates that message. The world despises it. The people of this world believe fundamentally, we are worthy. We are worthy to be saved. We are worthy to receive all the benefits of this life and all the benefits of the world to come without coming to Christ. And the difference is, you see, the Christian knows what mercy is because we've experienced it ourselves. That's the root of it, isn't it? We've known mercy if we're the people of God. We've experienced God having mercy upon us. We know, I am not deserving. I am not worthy. I come to God and I receive His goodness, not because I deserve it, but because He has mercy on a thoroughly undeserving person. It is mercy. That is what we need. And we as Christians love mercy. But the world, tragically the world, hates and despises the idea of mercy. The world does not like mercy. The world does not like it. The world believes we are good enough. In our sin, in our shame, we are good enough. In our arrogance and our self-seeking, we can come before God. The world has not shown mercy. And the world sadly will not receive mercy unless the people of this world come to know Christ. Hear the word of God. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And sadly, I fear that's the condemnation that hangs over our society. The world doesn't admire mercy, the world doesn't like mercy, but fundamentally, the world does not show mercy. There are some in our society that the world thinks are very deserving of the help of society. We hear various minorities, sadly sexual deviants seem to be one category of minority who seem to be regarded as very deserving of support in our day. But what about the elderly? Those who are lonely, those who are weary, those who are maybe more needy than those engaged in sexual deviancy. When do we hear about them? When do we hear in our society about the unborn and the needs of those who are most vulnerable? Those children, those precious human lives that are in the womb, and the tragedy of a society that just does not care, that sees lives ended, that sees the brutality of things like abortion continuing and going on and never being halted or addressed. We see the tragedy of it, especially when it comes to the advance of the gospel itself, and the tragedy that for most in our society, they simply don't care that the gospel is not being heard. They despise that message. They don't want people to hear it. They will not have mercy upon those who are going down into sin and into shame and ultimately into eternal destruction. The parable, in a way, that sums up our society is really the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember, children, that story that the Lord told about the man lying there, beaten by robbers, in need. Who would help him? Isn't that a good picture of the unborn child today? Of the person who has never heard the gospel message lying there. Who will help? And the people of this world, they are walking by on the other side. They will not have mercy. It costs too much. It's too risky. It would demand too much of them. And so they will walk by on the other side. They will pretend they cannot see what is going on. They will not have mercy. The Christian is different, and the Christian must be different. And here we have identified clearly that the Christian man or woman is the man or woman who is merciful, and who is marked out in this sinful, wicked world by being merciful. That's the point. We are different. We must be different if truly we are the people of God. The world does not like mercy. The world does not admire mercy. The world does not show mercy. And we see the reality of the proverb. Proverbs 12. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. This is a cruel world in which we live, a selfish world, an unmerciful world. But Christian people, they are different and they must be different. The world is not merciful. Ask yourself, are you one who is merciful? In a way, there's an easier question than that. Are you one who's even received mercy? Who even acknowledges, I need mercy. Who's come before God as a sinner, as someone who is undeserving, and who has received his mercy in Christ. It may be that you're listening today and you're still one of those who thinks, well, maybe I can be good enough for God, just as I am. You're not merciful because you've never received mercy. You've never experienced it for yourself. And so how can you have mercy upon others? But the true Christian is merciful because he or she has known mercy. And that brings us then to our second point. The world is not merciful, but secondly, the true Christian is merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Christian's attitude is merciful. The whole outlook that he has upon the world, it's a merciful outlook, and it is the fruit of our experience. You see, if we're Christians, then we know where we came from. We know that before the Lord worked in our lives, we were the slaves of sin. We were bound in our sins, we were trapped by our sins, and no matter what we did, we found that sin was just too strong. We know that because we experienced it, we were there. We knew what it was like to lead that life. So you see, we must be merciful in the way that we look in this world. Because we know, as we look even at the darkest sinners, there but for the grace of God go I. That's my life if it weren't that God had come in and made the difference. I was a slave of sin, but praise God and trusting in God, I believe that I have been liberated from that bondage to sin. So you see, our merciful attitude is not because we've suddenly become perfectly good people. It's because we know that's what I was like just a short time ago. I must be merciful because that's my experience being played out in front of me. And so you see, there's an attitude of the true Christian that is compassionate, even as we see the darkest deeds of the world. We see this beautifully pictured for us in Scripture. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great example in all things. Think of how he was merciful. You remember how he was being nailed to the cross, children. You remember how he was being put to death by wicked men. And you remember what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's mercy, isn't it? To look at people doing such a cruel thing and to ask that the Lord will forgive them. They know not what they do. They are the slaves of sin. They don't know any better. And so he sends up that prayer for the Lord to forgive them, for the Lord to do a work of grace, even in these hardened, wicked Roman soldiers. Or think of Stephen, facing the Jews as they stoned him to death. Kneeling down, what did he say? With a loud voice he cried, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's mercy, isn't it? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Here the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. The Apostle Paul, he was once a persecutor. He could identify with persecutors because he's been there himself. He'd been on the other side of the whip. He'd been the one leading the chain. And now he was preaching the gospel. You see, he'd been a slave of sin. And so he had the merciful attitude of the child of God. You know, we as Christians are surrounded by many opponents in our day. There are many who are so hostile to the gospel and to all that we hold. We have radical Muslims in our society who despise the Christian faith. We have zealous Jehovah's Witnesses working continually, going round the doors, zealously preaching their false gospel. We have mocking atheists who sneer at any notion of the supernatural and of any claim of a relationship with God. What attitude do you and I have when we're confronted by these opponents? Can we not shake our heads and say, well, such were some of you. Such were some of you. We've experienced what it was to be in sin, and so we cannot despise them. We must look on them with sad yet merciful eyes, as those who are but needy sinners who need to hear the gospel of salvation and the mercy of God in Christ. So the Christian's attitude must be merciful. But then again, the Christian's actions must be merciful. It's not just our attitude, our outlook, it's also what we actually do. It must be merciful because we must be merciful people. And the Christians are merciful. They are those who do kind and good and patient and loving things. The Apostle Paul expresses it very well. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Is that you described? One who shows mercy. Mercy even to the undeserving. Are you one who's ready to go and visit a lonely person? Are you one who's patient and calm, even with tiresome children, angry and impatient people? Are you one who is loving and compassionate? And especially, are you one who's willing to testify about the truth of the gospel of Christ and about what the Lord has done when you are confronted with an opponent or with one who simply does not know the gospel? Are you merciful? Are you marked out by your mercy in the midst of a harsh and a cruel world? The Christian's actions are merciful. And the Christian's lifestyle is merciful. It's not just what we do, it's the way we do it. It's the manner that we have. Christian people must be different in this respect. They must have a graciousness, a gentleness, a courtesy that comes with the Christian faith, that comes with knowing we were sinners, we were undeserving. How can we be arrogant and self-seeking when the Lord, by his mercy, has broken our chains and has taken us from the darkness of sin and of bondage to sin to the light and to walking in light? It doesn't mean that we're people who just live with soft soap and sentimentality. It means that we are people who are honest, who are willing to say, sin is wrong, sin is wicked, sin is against the law of God, but there is mercy in Christ and there is a Saviour in Christ. We are merciful. We will not conceal our gospel, but we will be as a city set upon an hill that cannot be hid, whose light shines forth, who proclaim by our action, by our manner, by our lifestyle, we are different. In the midst of a sinful world, we are merciful. We are compassionate. Why do we live like this? Is it not because Christ himself was merciful? He came into this wicked world. He came for dark and wicked sinners who deserved nothing. And he came loving these sinners, having compassion upon them, caring for them, even when they were utterly unlovable. And died on that cross in suffering, in anguish, in pain, so that we ourselves need not suffer the everlasting anguish of the wrath of God. He has shown mercy. He is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And having come to such a merciful high priest, must we not show mercy in turn? Is yours a merciful life? Don't you see that this is the true Christian marked out and described? So we've seen then, firstly, the world is not merciful. We've seen, secondly, the true Christian is merciful. But thirdly, the true Christian shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, the Christian needs mercy. You and I know it ourselves. We have done wrong. We have committed much sin. And though now we are striving after holiness, yet still the memory of our sins remains with us. We know we have committed these sins, and therefore we know we need the mercy that is to be found in Jesus Christ. We can't live apart from Christ, because apart from Christ we have no hope at all. All of our life is now bound up with the Lord Jesus. There's no alternative for us. There's no other life for us. There's no other way of salvation. It's only in Jesus Christ that we have any hope. So you see, we need mercy. We know we need mercy. and were those looking for that mercy, expecting it, hoping for it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that's the hope that's leading us on through this life. Yes, we've done sins, but we also have a sure hope that we will have mercy, that we will obtain mercy. And this really is what it means to be a Christian, to look for mercy, to expect mercy. And since we are those who look for mercy, who expect mercy, we have to show mercy in return. How can we not? It's like the passage that we were reading earlier on, Matthew chapter 18. You remember the parable that Jesus told. One man who had been forgiven an immense debt, a vast sum of money, and his Lord said, "You cannot pay. Very well, I forgive it." That's you, that's me, isn't it? Forgiven by God's mercy, our vast debt. And then he's faced by his own servant who owes him 100 pence. And he is unmerciful. He is cruel. Oh, that's not the true Christian, is it? That's not the true child of God who takes him by the throat, who says, "Pay me that thou owest." That's not the attitude that must mark us in this life. And pray God it never is the way that we behave in this life. We have received mercy, and therefore we show mercy as those who are looking to obtain yet more mercy in the future. As the prophet Hosea says, speaking of this mercy that is to come, "I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." This is what we're looking forward to, that day when we obtain mercy. We appear before the throne of God at last, at the end of life. And we come, don't we, with all these sins that we have committed, with the guilt of a long life full of rebellion against God, in ourselves, deserving nothing. The charge list, it's so long, it just goes on and on and on. All these wicked things that we've done, and we come before God's throne, and we come to obtain mercy. For there is one to plead our cause, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he comes forward and he says, "I have paid the price. I have washed away these sins. I have died for them. Everyone is cleansed." And that's mercy, isn't it? When the charge sheet is torn up, when the judgment is an acquittal, and when we are proclaimed righteous in the eyes of God. That's mercy, isn't it? And that's what we are waiting for as the children of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that's our hope, that on that day we will obtain mercy. We will find the love of God in Christ. As the Apostle Paul says of his friend Onesiphorus, "The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." You see what he's saying about this man? This man showed me mercy. I hope that on that day he shall obtain mercy. Well, isn't it answered in our very text? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The true Christian will obtain mercy. It's certain. It is sure. And so if we are marked out like this in this life, blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. We are marked out, and therefore it is certain that we shall obtain it. The true Christian is merciful. Just as we come to a close, a couple of thoughts of application. Are you one who needs mercy? Are you one who is starting to realize that you're a guilty sinner, that you don't have any rights before God, you don't have any privileges, you don't have any reason to expect anything from him at all in and of yourself? Are you starting to recognize that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope? Come to him then, for he is merciful. He is the one who exhibits all these qualities in the highest sense. The Lord Jesus Christ is merciful. Will you not come to him even today and trust in him and find that he is merciful to save you and to love you and to grant you a sure hope of everlasting life? Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Are you one who has received mercy? Are you one who's known the love of God in Christ, who has been changed? Well then, must you not show that mercy in turn? Do you not have a responsibility to lead a merciful life? See that here the people of God are described, the merciful. Is that you? If not, or if it is a poor description of you, then ask how your life needs to change to exhibit the mercy which you have received. Oh, if we truly have known mercy, then let us be merciful. Let us think what practically we can do to show love, to show mercy to undeserving people. Let us think how we too can be merciful as he is merciful. And if indeed we are those who are merciful, not perfectly, because we're not perfect in anything we do in this life, but if we have a compassion, if we have a care for others that is manifested forth in our lives, then let's take the encouragement of this passage. Blessed are the merciful. They're blessed, for they shall obtain mercy. And so if you're identified as separate, as different, in the midst of a cruel and selfish world, take that encouragement, the words of the Lord Jesus, and be assured that you are one of his chosen people, one of his beloved children. You are blessed in the midst of a sinful and a wicked world. Trust in him then and walk with him in mercy, in righteousness, that he may truly be your Lord and your Saviour. Amen.